News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
What medics like me mostly worry about is the issue of cannabis-related violence and especially homicide. Because while cannabis may rarely kill, cannabis users frequently do. So writes columnist of the Irish Medical Times, author and retired consultant in emergency medicine, Dr. Chris Luke. Chris Luke joins us now. Chris, you obviously don't regard cannabis as a harmless drug that just mellows people.
Morning, Shane. No, I haven't got a problem with the occasional use of cannabis, as I've said over many decades. I think what we would worry most about medically is what we call cannabis use disorder, where there is effectively an addiction or a compulsion to continually use cannabis for, you know, basically on a daily basis. You're talking 2, 3, 4 joints or spliffs every day and more. And then in the context of mental illness, you get a multiplication effect, especially with illnesses like schizophrenia or paranoid illnesses. And then you end up with the sort of scenario that we've seen over the last 18 months or so in this country with people killing partners or neighbours, you know, extraordinarily brutally, often using knives or other bladed weapons.
Do you think, because there's a lot of discussion at the moment about liberalising drugs, do you think we're overlooking these very serious side effects?
Yes, I do. And the problem is the absence of evidence isn't the evidence of absence. You know, I mean, people will say, people who are enthusiastic, and there are, God knows, there's plenty of enthusiasts for weed in this country and all around the Western world. I've said this for the record. I nobody has a problem with the odd spliff, but it's just to try and recognize that there is, I think, people will deny it, but I think that, you know, in the near future, there'll be an undeniable link between levels of we're talking extreme violence and the regular or heavy use of cannabis. And of course, as I pointed out in my article there, for every sort of psychotic killing, the sorts that we've seen reported over the last year or so in Ireland, there will be several, you know, I'm certain there'll be many episodes of violence that are sort of sub-lethal, because by definition, the same people will be psychotic, but will not, you know, will not kill somebody that they'll merely wound.
There will be some people listening on that'll say, "Oh, look, Chris is overstating this. That you're hyping up the risks here." How would you respond to that?
I really, really don't. I've been watching this since the 70s. I mean, I grew up in the 70s. I know all about weed. And basically, you know, I've seen many friends succumb to its effects over decades. I've seen the steady, relentless rise in the number of people registering or attempting to register for treatment in this country, you know, nearly 5,000 in the last year or so. There's estimated to be about, 90-odd thousand people who probably have a cannabis use disorder. So that's your basic population who are at risk. And even if only 1% or 10% of those go on to a violent cannabis-induced psychotic episode, that's quite a lot of people.
In your piece, you outline what you say are three key steps to addressing the problem of cannabis-related violence. Talk to us about those three steps.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to do, so as we're talking in a vacuum when it comes to cannabis use in this country, I mean, the data, the evidence is really very sparse, precisely because we haven't looked systematically. So I think that the first step is to try and establish the scale of the problem. And that can only really be done at the moment through surveys of experts like psychiatrists, general practitioners who treat teenagers with cannabis-related issues, and emergency physicians. We need then to systematically study the problem and then come up with policy that's evidence-based.
Step two?
Well, step two, as I say, is the systematic study of the cases that we see, because if you think about COVID, people will say there was no evidence for COVID in the month or so that it first happened. So all medical science really begins with case reports. So we need to accumulate as many case reports as possible. I'm really an advocate of toxicology by police When it comes to cases of extreme violence. We do it for drug driving. You know, before we tested for drug driving, you know, some people could have argued that there was little or no drug driving. It was only when we had the test, the chemistry, to be able to do that, that we established the scale of the problem. But we need to do that with violence too.
Step three, you say before we liberalise drugs, we need better data on health issues, capacity to manage the complications of excessive drug use. Just finally, are we sleepwalking towards liberalisation of cannabis in this country?
There's an element of that. I mean, I think there's undoubtedly a tide that's moving towards liberalisation. But I still think it's really, really important to recognise that, as with every single drug, from alcohol to aspirin, there are always side effects and people who do come to harm. And I think, regardless of the political liberalisation and so forth, we need to accept that there will be casualties, not just of the drug itself, but of the drug users.
Okay. Dr. Chris Luke, columnist to the Irish Medical Times, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.